The next case is number 09-1377, In Re Encapsulation Technology. Mr. Smith, you're ready?
Yes, Your Honor. This invention arose, is directed to containing contaminants. It's a decontamination type method. It arose, the problem arose in the national laboratories with containing plutonium dust. And a lot of these rooms had to be sealed up because whenever someone went into the room, they would kick up the plutonium dust. So the rooms were sealed off, but they couldn't be sealed off forever. So eventually something had to be done to decontaminate these rooms. And this invention provided a simple solution. And what the invention is it's the fogging of what is referred to as a capture liquid.
You referred to it as a simple invention, Mr. Smith. Isn't that because of all the components were in the prior art? Sequestering a contaminant, using a fog, encapsulating a contaminant with a sealant?
All the components are in the prior art, but it's the method of doing this using a fog that was never done before.
Use of a fog was in the prior art.
Yes, the prior art
to get into the full volume of an enclosed space.
Right. There were three patents cited in the obviousness rejection. And one of the patents, Mitsui, the 443 patent, was a nebulizer. It's a ultrasonic transducer that is used as a nebulizer, which is a medical device that is worn kind of like an asthma inhaler that people inject medicine or nebulized medicine. The other patent and the primary reference was a liquid, the Graw patent, which is the 897 patent, is a liquid product that is applied to a surface by spraying. So, and that was used primarily in asbestos abatement. And the idea was, okay, if we could spray the asbestos particles, we could then contain them. That had nothing to do with fogging. There's a big difference between spraying and fogging. Fogging requires the use of, it's a very fine mist. Spraying is aimed directly at the surface involved. Fogging is a very time-consuming process. If you look at example one of the patent, you'll see that the plutonium dust in the test example that was provided in the patent, it took over 4 hours of fogging to encapsulate this plutonium dust and adhere it to the surfaces. And in that four-hour period, a 3-micron layer of encapsulate was deposited on the surfaces, to encapsulate and adhere those particles against the surface. The other patent, the third patent that was cited in the prior art, is the patent of Castronovo, the 897. That's a patent that does, in fact, fog. What they do with that particular in that particular patent is kill insects. It's a aerosol can that's placed. It's mounted in the attic of a home, and the aerosol contents are. It's a fogging apparatus.
But it uses the device of a fog to get the insecticide into an enclosed space.
Into an enclosed space in an attic to kill insects that are infesting that home, and in that particular situation, they refer to it as a fogging gas, a fogger gas. That fogger gas permeates through the enclosed space in the attic, typically an attic, and kills the apparently kills the insects upon contact, but it doesn't provide any encapsulation of the in, of the insects or coating of the insects.
What you're saying is that there's no 102 reference here. There's no anticipation, and the question is obviousness.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. These related pieces seem to be sitting there, and I would guess your only argument is to say that there's nothing to suggest putting all these things together.
That's correct. Your argument that's our position. We just don't see how a canister of insecticide that kills insects can render an invention obvious that uses
the
a fogging
insecticide
machine.
Isn't the point of that reference, at least for this rejection. It's the fog that's the point of the rejection. Use of a fog.
And the fact that a fog will penetrate into corners and other areas that you want to reach.
That's right. The fog is able to.
So isn't that an appropriate teaching that would suggest to one of ordinary skill in the art to take the encapsulating liquid of the Graw reference and use an ultrasonic fogger as shown in Mitsui to reach all kinds of places in a fog as shown by Castronovo? Seems like a sort of almost a classic example of an appropriate 103 prima facie showing.
I just don't think that you can say that a gas that kills an insect upon contact without encapsulating or adhering. You see, if you look at the claims...
It's not the gas and what it's used for. It's the fact that a fog is effective to reach places that sprays and other things can't reach.
I agree that that's in the prior art. There's no question that it's known that that Castronovo teaches that a fog can reach... Castronovo mentions that fogging is arguably the most effective
method of
treating.
But isn't that all the patent office is relying on it for? And aren't they entitled to rely on it for that?
That, I think, if you look at the claim language, and this is our main argument with the board's decision, the patent office board's decision, is that the claim language requires... that the fog coat the surfaces of the process area and encapsulate and adhere the dust particles to the surfaces of the process area.
But does the liquid in Graw do that?
Graw does that with a spraying process, but I don't think you can say that a process that does this by fogging is made obvious by a spraying process simply because there's a reference out there that happens to kill insects with a fogger gas and mention that fogging is the best method. I mean, if you were to take that statement in Castronovo that fogging is arguably the best method of treating an enclosed space, if you were to take that statement, then that could basically be used to invalidate almost any method, it would seem, that would be based on fogging in an enclosed space. And I just think that this is one step beyond. I really don't think you can get to the claims of this invention without using hindsight. I just don't see how killing insects with a fogger gas provides that incentive or that, you know, it makes it obvious that you can come up with a process that encapsulates and adheres dust particulates to the surface of a process area.
Well, how about Mitsui that doesn't deal with an insecticide?
Mitsui is a nebulizer, and it's a device that...
Isn't it a fogger?
It is a fogger, yes.
So, Mr. Smith, you agree that all the claims rise and fall together, that those more specific claims as to particular components aren't to be considered separately?
Yes, although we do have an argument with respect to claim two, that the material that's deposited on the surface, the capture liquid that's deposited on the surfaces, it's our position that that's not shown in the prior art.
Well, the claim two is the tacky layer. Are you relying on the tackiness?
Yes, the tackiness. We don't believe that's shown in the prior art, although Graw does disclose a tacky material. Graw is not really... I shouldn't say Graw discloses a tacky material. Graw discloses a product that has some sort of adhesive qualities. But Graw does not actually adhere particulates or encapsulate and adhere particulates to the surface. Graw is what people in the art refer to as a stripper that actually removes the contaminants from the surface and draws them into the liquid composition. And because of that, we feel that claim two is separately patentable, even though it depends from claim one. I just don't think that you can get to the invention that's actually recited in claim one. And that's where we feel the error is, Your Honor. We feel that if you read pages 17 through 19 of the board's decision, which is where they lay this out, not once does the board mention the claim language, which is encapsulate and adhere those particulates to the surfaces. There's a case, North American Oil, which dealt with this, and it talked about how the claim language, every limitation in the claim should be looked at. And we don't feel that's been done in this case. And because if you do look at those claim limitations, I just don't see how you can get to that invention without using hindsight.
I think you've encapsulated your argument well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Kelly.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'd like to begin where encapsulation of counsel left off, the question before him, where he said, Graal cannot teach the system where you encapsulate and then adhere, and that there's nothing in the record going to that teaching. But in fact, the examiner's answer, if you look at the appendix at age 568, the examiner says, the instant claims do not exclude the process as taught by Graal, wherein the contaminant particles are held or suspended in a composition and the particulate containing the composition adheres to the surface, i.e., the particles are encapsulated and adhered against the surface. In fact, the claimed limitation of encapsulate means exactly that. So there were teachings. That is the explanation about what is happening here. And even if we were to pretend that wasn't the case, and to accept this argument that you have to, the way that this the claim reads is to requires this sort of adhesion to the surface and not suspension and entrapment in and then adhering the solid state matrix in to the surface. Graal teaches that this sort of sequestering can be done by all physical and chemical means, including adsorption, which means adhesion.
But there's neither of the fog references discloses sequestering. The fog references disclose dispersing, introducing, but not sequestering on a surface. Isn't that right?
Well, it's not necessary that Castronova or Mitsui disclose the sequestering.
But that's the claim, isn't it? That's the claim.
Graal teaches sequestering. Eller teaches sequestering.
But not the fog.
but they don't teach the fog. What Grau says is that Mitsui is cited for how you introduce the capture liquid, and Grau teaches every other step of claim, every other element of claim.
I guess what I'm saying is, as I said to appellant's counsel, there's no 102 reference, and so what you have to deal with is putting them all together. What puts them all together? What makes them obvious?
What makes them obvious is this. Grau says, look, you can introduce the capture liquid by any conventional means. That's a quote, any conventional method. And then he lists conventional methods. Those methods include machine spraying, aerosol spraying, airless spraying, misting, rolling, pouring, brushing. And then he goes through and exemplifies all of those conventional methods. Mitsui, at the very first line of Mitsui, that of the description of the invention at page A625, says, it is well known that in the conventional ultrasonic wave nebulizer, an ultrasonic wave is injected into a liquid from beneath, et cetera, to produce a fine mist. I mean, Mitsui itself says, hey, I'm a conventional method of introducing a liquid, of creating this fine mist liquid. And so you have familiar elements of ways to get a liquid into a space at, listed in Grau, and he says you can use any other conventional methods. Mitsui teaches another conventional method, and you're just popping that familiar element into Grau to achieve a very predictable result.
What you're arguing is that fogging is brought in by the statement of any conventional method. That includes fogging, because fogging is conventional. You're saying that's the connection, the reason to combine.
The reason to combine that the examiner and the board found is that a person looking at this problem, looking at the problem of how do I get a liquid, you know, well dispersed into an enclosed space, would then look to, faced with that problem, would look to see, well, what's the best way to do that? And Castronovo says, hey, the best way to do that, arguably the best way to do this is by using fogging. So that's the motivation to just, Graue teaches a whole slew of conventional ways to introduce this capture liquid. We have this one other conventional way taught in Mitsui, and Castronovo says, that other conventional method that's already known is great, and so that would be the motivation to say, hey, just pop that in, and you're going to get this nice result with this other familiar element. And that's the case that's here. Unlike what opposing counsel said, Grau is not limited to some forceful spray, There's nothing here to rebut or discredit that prima facie case.
Nothing foggy about the teachings here.
Correct. And I just to quickly address the tacky element, as far as tacky is concerned, tacky is not defined in the 355 patent. Nowhere does encapsulation define what tacky is meant as it relates to claim 2 or otherwise. But
is that your only objection to claim 2, the lack of definition of tacky?
I'm not understanding exactly the question, but their objection is that tacky is not found in Grau. But the examiner found that it would be obvious if you're trying to entrap things that you would want to use something that is tacky. And again, it's not defined what tacky means in the 355 patent, but the 355 patent at A51 says, by the way, a suitable capture liquid that will be tacky is a polyurea compound. And then Graway specifically teaches at A595 that a variety of polyurea compounds. And the board expressly, at fact finding 13, notes that Graway teaches these polyurea compounds. So they don't define what tacky means, but they say, hey, polyureas are tacky and suitable for use in claim 2. And then the board finds that, by the way, Gra teaches those same tacky compounds. It's hard to that teaching is there, and I don't understand opposing counsel's position on that. So I think that substantial evidence, you know, the board has made out a prima facie case, the examiner made out a prima facie case, substantial evidence supports the board's position, and I now ask if your honors have any additional questions.
Any questions for Ms. Kelly? Anyone? Thank you, Ms. Kelly.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Smith?
Yes, I can wrap up pretty quickly here, Your Honor. Again, we feel that, you know, if you look at the claim language, which requires encapsulating and adhering these particulates to the surface, and that's done with a fog, it's not a conventional, fogging is not a conventional method of applying something. In fact, even Castronovo doesn't really apply anything to the surface. Castronovo is a gas that kills the insects. So I think if you look at the claim language, it's just the invention is just not made obvious by the prior art that's been cited here. And I think this is a case where you've got a situation where the invention is clearly non-obvious, and you just couldn't have arrived at this claim without using hindsight. And that's about all we have to say.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Kelly, case is taken under submission.